Welcome, everybody. This is David Newman with another expert interrogation. That's right. These aren't interviews. They're interrogations because they're so intense. All right. My guest today, you are in for a real treat, by the way. Oh, my God. My guest today is the amazing Allison Lex. I'm going to read the introduction that she sent only because that's what we do in marketing land. And then I'll tell you how fabulous she really is. You're laughing already.
It's going to be a fun time.
It's going to be good. So here we go. Allison Lex got her start working for two of the highest paid and most sought after copywriters and strategists in the biz. And you may have heard of these two guys, unless you've been under a rock for the last 25 years, Dan Kennedy and Bill Glazer. As the marketing manager for their company, Glazer Kennedy Insider Circle, Allison got a first class education in all things direct response, and she's used that education to build her own business, providing copywriting and marketing strategy to clients all over the world. She's been working on her education, as we all have. I think every expert always continues to seek expertise. For the past 5 years, learning about online marketing, social media, relationship building, networking, you name it, she uses her techniques to help clients everywhere from Baltimore, Maryland, her hometown, all the way down under Australia, to make their marketing fun, effective, and profitable. And that's the end of the official story. The real story is this woman is so fantastic, so smart, so generous, so insightful, I could not help but often invite her to share her wisdom on this interview and just shed some light on a hugely important topic that I know, Allison, you teach and preach, and I try and beat my folks into submission around. So our topic today is about targeting your audience and how that is the foundation of every dollar that you make and every success that you have in business. Am I right?
Absolutely. We can't teach about it enough, can we?
We can't, but here's what I find, you know, and I'm sure you find the same thing. Your copywriting clients come to you and they say, well, Allison, you know, I need a better headline. I need better marketing copy. I need the right words. And you say, no, dude, hold on. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as the right headline. There's no such thing as the right words unless you know who you're talking to.
Absolutely.
So let's go back to square one. Let's just talk to me like I'm a six-year-old, which is pretty easy. Why should I target my audience in the first place?
All right. So there are a bunch of different statistics out there, but we'll just pick a general number. Your prospect, your customer, sees thousands of marketing messages every single day. If you think of the number of logoed items that are in your home office or your office, my home office has a bajillion logos and marketing messages and remember me and buy me again. And that doesn't count the YouTube ads, the email marketing, the phone calls, the direct mail, all the television commercials, the sidebar ads. We're on Skype right now, and there's an ad on my Skype. And if you want to be heard over all of that noise, if you want to be seen over all of those ads, then you've got to speak to your audience so that they hone in and they see it. And they know that you are intending for your message to be heard and read by them. If you think about it, you could be in a crowded room, but you'll hear your name, right? Because it's personal to you. So if you can make your marketing as personal to your prospect as their name.
Hey, Bob.
Right. Then it's going to get read. And it's going to immediately create that connection with your prospect that's going to get them to take the solution that you're offering to them.
Wow. Absolutely. Well, and let me also, I can't believe I forgot to mention this. I want to come back to what you just said because it's brilliant. and it's, there's so much there that I have questions about. Okay. I forgot to give the name of your company, which is the world's best name for a marketing company, by the way. It's rockyourmarketing.com.
That's
rockyourmarketing.com. So even as you're listening to this, you need to go over right now to rockyourmarketing.com and see the Allison Lex Empire. Download. This is a fabulous 9-page PDF. I'm just looking at it right now. And there's a lot more details in there about targeting your audience and why that's important. And so we're going to dig even further than that. But you definitely need that 9-page special report, which is just brilliant. I have to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Allison Lex, is that your real name?
It is my real name. It's my married name.
Now, isn't that ironic? And you know why it's ironic, because, of course, what does Lex mean?
It's a word, lexicon, all
exactly
that stuff.
Exactly right.
So,
it is Latin for word. And, of course, as a marketing guru, as someone who deals in messaging and copywriting,
that's
Allison
me.
Lex, you got the perfect name.
I do.
You know, I have... our electrician, I swear to God, our electrician, his name is Jack Flash.
Oh, that's perfect.
And there's also a power washing company here in the Philadelphia area. You can look it up. I swear to God, hand on a Bible. The guy's name is Dave Spiller.
Dave Spiller,
the power washing guy. So I think people find their profession for a reason.
Well, I think a lot, I mean, if you look at names historically, when people... emigrated to the United States, a lot of times their names were given, and this was way back when, but their names were given to them based on their profession.
Yes.
So, you know, Baker, you would actually be able to trace them back and find that they did have a bakery of some sort.
Some delicious,
or something
hot,
like that.
Tasty rolls.
Oh, you know what? Some good French bread. Hard to beat.
Now you got us onto the topic of baked goods. Thanks a lot.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a one-stop shop over here at
there
Rocket Marketing.
So let me get back to what you just said, because I think there's so much richness there, and people just have, you know, they don't know even how to begin.
Absolutely.
About targeting that, you know, because you want to slap Bob on the side of his head and say, hey, Bob, I'm talking to you. So
right.
You want your marketing, your messaging, your value prop, the language that you use, the copy on your website, the copy in your email marketing, the subject lines, the headlines, all of it needs to have some variation of, hey, Bob,
exactly.
I'm talking to you.
Exactly.
So what kind of information do you look for? Like when you work with a new copywriting client or a new product development client, someone who wants to go from zero to hero in the information marketing world, how do you help them nail down that buyer persona so that they know who Bob is and they know what makes Bob tick?
Absolutely. Well, it's pretty much a process. I like to go in four stages. So I'll run through it really quick because it usually takes a really long time. The first stage is the demographic information, the who they are. You know, how old they are, their gender, where they live, and I mean where they live geographically, but also the kind of house they live in. Do they live in the city, the suburbs, a rural area? You know, are they married? What do they do? How much do they make? All of those kind of factual pieces of information that, like a census would take, kind of thing.
Sure.
And then that goes into the next part, which is digging deeper. So we've already talked about whether they're married. We want to know now if they have kids. Do they have pets? If so, what kind? What kind of car do they drive? Did they buy it new? Did they buy it used? What do they do on the weekends? What are their hobbies? That, you know, just really like getting into their brain and looking at their life, the stuff that you would find not in a census report, but maybe on Facebook or on other, you know, social media in their pictures and things like
yeah.
that. And then we want to look at their interaction with you, because, of course, we want, if we're going to do marketing to find awesome customers, we want to look at who already are your awesome customers. So their buying habits. Do they buy everything that you offer, or do they buy one thing and then, you know, if you're a marketer, one thing and then implement, one thing and then implement. If you hold events, do they attend all of the events and buy something at the event, or do they just buy the recordings after the fact? How do they interact with you as a customer? And do they interact with your social media? Do they refer you? those kind of things, because we just want to know who the best person is and what we can expect from them in that instance. And last but not least is the conclusions that we draw from all of those other questions that we've asked. And this is where we're really imagining that we are this person, and answering questions like, what are they afraid of? What keeps them up at night? What, you know, what wakes them up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat and they're kind of freaking out, worried and scared? What do they want more of in their life and what do they want less of? And what are their dreams and their hopes and their ambitions? What's holding them back from achieving those? All of those questions that really just bring out the problems that they have that they need you to solve.
So I'm going to go client on you.
Okay.
You know what that means?
That means I'm going to help you out and brainstorm with you, and you're going to pretend you're one of my clients.
No, although that's a great idea. Let's do that in a few minutes. Hold that thought. This is probably a little bit of a detrimental term. When I say I'm going to go client on you, it's mean I'm going to kind of get dumb and difficult and give you a piece of client language that you probably hear a lot, because I think I hear it a lot too. People go, Allison, that's a lot of work.
Yeah,
that's a lot of work. Like, do I really have to do that?
You do. You know why?
Why?
Because if you create marketing without doing it, that's a lot of work too, and it's a lot of money you're going to lose.
There you go. Yeah, doing random spray and pray marketing out to the generic universe, that's a lot of work too, and that's not going to fill the bank account.
Absolutely. Now, a lot of times my clients don't know these answers. They don't know where their people live, or they don't know their buying history. They don't track that kind of information. So sometimes we are starting at square, I don't even call it square zero. It's totally square zero.
Right.
And we've got to figure out how to get that information. And so we will straight up Facebook, you know, we'll start clicking around and looking at Facebook. I will read industry journals for people who are in that, if it's especially B2B, if they're in that industry, I'll read the industry journals. I'll get on Google and set up an alert and just really kind of immerse myself in that world as much as possible so that I can see the language they're using, like you mentioned, or what they're talking about, what's hot for them right now. And that'll give me some insight into the problems and the worries and the dreams that we talked about.
Wow. Interesting. So it sounds like this is something, obviously we can all do this, but it is a tremendous amount of work. But like when a client hires you, you take this work off their plate as well.
To some extent. Yeah. I mean, I definitely want them to do some of these exercises too, just because it they're invested in the outcome in that sense. You know, we're a team when we work on these things. And a lot of my clients say, you know what, I'll get this information. I'll see what I can do. And they'll send a survey to their list, or they'll ask their top 10 clients the answers or things like that. Or they'll click around on Facebook. Some of my clients really like to do that kind of, I call it Facebook stalking, and figuring out some of these answers. It becomes a little bit of a game. That's how I think of it. But everything.
Yeah.
Everything's fun for me.
Well, and you know, here's the other thing. People don't understand that this is a one-time task. I mean, assuming you've got one target market, mm-hmm. that you've got, you know, you're putting all of your products and services and programs, and you want to live with these people permanently. I don't care if they're golfers. I don't care if they're senior citizens. I don't care if you're selling, coaching, consulting, training, information products, professional services, legal, accounting, whatever, assuming mm-hmm. that you have a niche and that you have a target market, you have a certain demographic and psychographic tribe of people, you do this work one time and you do it right and you do it smart and you do it in depth. And then that becomes a permanent asset in your business, correct?
Absolutely. And I'm not going to lie to you. It sucks. It's a lot of work. It is.
Oh my God. Absolutely.
I think it's fun. I think it's a game, because it's how much can I find out about these people? But it is. It's very time intensive, and it can make you want to pull your hair out sometimes. But when the money starts coming in, you don't mind as much.
Right, exactly. So let me ask you this, because you and I were talking about doing some work together, and I confess to you that I either have this huge blind spot or this huge sense of complacency that, you know, hey, I'm pretty good at this already. How can people know, and that's probably not true, by the way, but how can companies or how can entrepreneurs, how can info marketers, how can consultants, how can solopreneurs, how do they know if they're doing it right or at least doing it better than most? Are there signs? Are there DNA markers that, okay, I'm not totally in the dark here. It could always get better, but at least I'm sort of in the ballpark. What are some of the signs that you may be doing this better than you think?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I think a really good sign is you're going to start seeing more, they're called like raving fans, people who really just start eating up everything that you say, or they're referring people. I use the landscaping company a lot in my examples because for some reason my brain gets stuck on them. So, but you'd have customers who would send you people. You're going to start to see that you're mowing the lawns of the whole neighborhood. You know what I mean? Because your customer is sending people to you. They love you so much. Because
solving their problem. Let me challenge you on that a little bit. Because isn't that about providing fantastic service? And isn't that sort of after sale value? You know, the whole concept of like marketing and filling the funnel and getting new people on board is about pre-sale credibility. I think referrals and having the word spread like you're talking about, that's beautiful. And I love that, by the way. So, you know, don't stop that from coming. But isn't that about once they've experienced your product or service or program, then they become raving fans? That doesn't necessarily mean that your copy is brilliant.
That's true. I'll give you that. I think marketing is a full relationship process. So you should always be targeting, not just in copy, but in everything you do to these people. So your product or your service or your program or your event is going to be targeted in the same way that we've been talking about.
Gotcha.
So, you know, that's one way that you can tell that it's working is you start seeing the referrals coming in. Another way is going to be that you simply see your income go up. You see your response rates increase. I mean, that's going to be the biggest factor.
It's
you
amazing
know what I
how
mean?
That is such a good source of evidence right there.
Isn't it? I mean, if follow the money. Follow the money. I probably should have said that one first. You might not have challenged me on
there
that.
You go. Yeah, that, you can't really. That's inarguable, right?
There's I was saving the best for second, apparently.
Indisputable points of proof is like, how are your sales, buddy? How are your sales, right?
I mean, you're going to see your sales go up. You're going to see your response rate go up.
Yeah.
I don't usually measure on response rate because ROI is what matters. That's dollars. Dollars in the bank are the bottom line for me.
Right.
But yeah, you're going to see that increase and you're going to see more people responding to your message. You're going to see that you may still be sending out the same number of direct mail pieces or emails, or you're going to spend the same amount of money on social ads or what have you, but you're going to have a higher click-through rate. You're going to have a higher response rate. You're going to have more people ordering or opting in or attending your webinars or whatever it is that you're putting on.
Fantastic. That's absolutely, I love that. I love that. You know, certainly, I mean, those things, because a lot of people, you know, a lot of people think that what we do is kind of squishy. It's like, oh yeah, that's just marketing. It's like, well, you know, it's squishy if you're, you know, if you're doing billboard advertising on the highway, and even that can be made less squishy than most people do it.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's people say, well, I don't know if it's working. It's like, really? Well, let's look at your website statistics. Let's look at your email open rates, all these things you just mentioned, right?
Absolutely.
So it's like, hello. Believe me, you should know if it's working, because if you don't know if it's working, then you're kind of disconnected from reality.
Absolutely. Tracking and testing and measuring and all of those. Again, they sound like work, so people don't like to do them, but they are so important. The more you know, and the less guessing you're doing,
which
again, is back with this targeting thing. We know the answers to these questions, so we're not guessing. And that's what translates into dollars in our pocket.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. So again, if you're just tuning in, which I have no idea how you'd tune into the middle of an audio interview or a podcast, but if you're just tuning in, you know, it's like, hey, we're on the radio here, folks, and there's a baseball game on Saturday. Come on down. I am talking to the fabulous Allison Lex of rockyourmarketing.com. Get your digital butt over to rockyourmarketing.com. And it's so funny, you know, I use that term, you rock and this rocks and that rocks, but you stole my thunder, dude. I mean, you totally stole my thunder here. Like, you own rockyourmarketing.com.
I can't take credit for it.
Oh, how'd that name come about?
I originally bought the domain Jumpstart Your Marketing, and I talked to a really good friend of mine who is a super smart marketer and copywriter, and she was like, Allison, you say the word rock star. You're like, it's such a rock star. Why don't you rock your marketing? And I was like, sold.
Nice. There you go.
So it wasn't, I can't even take credit for it, but I can take credit for knowing when someone has a good idea.
It's the power of smart friends, right?
That's exactly it. It's about who you know and what they know.
So let's swing into the copy side of what you're doing. And I, even before we talk about how to translate the implications of all this fabulous research that you're recommending folks do, how to translate that into copy, what are four or five of the biggest copywriting mistakes that you see people make out there?
Okay. Well, the biggest mistake that I see, other than the not targeting your audience, because that's kind of a gimme there, is not calling out that audience in some way right up front. They'll say, okay, well, I'll have this little piddly headline, and then I'll put the details about my audience in the body copy. Well, nobody's reading it past that little piddly headline, so we need to work on the headline. You know, so another really big mistake is the piddly headline to begin with. And then I think just really not sticking with it, maybe not wanting to be too generic, not being specific enough. I think people are afraid of specifics these days.
They want to hedge their bets, right?
They want to hedge their – they're afraid to say, you know what? I'm going to make you, or I'm going to help you make $5,000 in 30 days or less. Or I'm going to help you lose 10 pounds in the next – I don't know how long it takes to healthily lose 10 pounds. So, what, 4 weeks. I'm going to help, you know, this is the exact benefit you're going to get when you're working with me. People are afraid to say that, I think, because there's then that expectation that I can sit on my rear and not do what this person's telling me to do, and I should still get that result anyway.
Yeah.
Which, if anybody's tried to lose 10 pounds, sitting on your rear is the exact opposite of how to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's something people are afraid of because they don't want to be seen as they don't want to make anybody mad. They don't want to piss anybody off. And, you know, I hung out with Dan Kennedy, and you want to talk about not being afraid to make people mad. It's a really good lesson to learn, because if they get mad at you, they're not your target customer anyway.
Right.
So I really think that being too wishy-washy and too generic and too unspecific, if that's a word.
Take a stand for something, people.
Stand up.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, and mean it and just say it and go for it. And it's hard to do. It's hard to get into that. I even struggled with that and still do at some point. You're like, well, but I don't want to exclude this customer. Yeah, dude, they're not my customer.
Exclude them all. Exclude them all. Let God sort them out.
Not all of them, David.
Well, okay, not all.
We need some
this
of them.
This is my problem. I've excluded everybody. I've pissed off the whole world. Like, that David Newman, I hate him.
Oh, stop.
Well, you know what's funny? This is such a great conversation, because I remember, like, one specific example from my world. A few months ago, I did a teleseminar called Write My Damn Book. Because I've heard, again, buyer persona research, right? I've heard so many of my prospects and clients, I'm working on this damn book. I need to finish this damn book. I have to start my damn book. They say, right, prospect language is my damn book. So write my damn book. And people say, oh, I've gotten these nasty emails and these nasty comments on social media. I thought you were more professional. I can't believe that you're swearing. And, you know, I did some research. A Disney movie that wants a rated G movie rating, they can use the word damn all they want. Uh-huh. Damn is no longer a swear word, people. So that, they'll be, oh, I can't believe you're swearing. Goodbye. Go away. I've pissed you off. You've disqualified yourself. You're out of here. You're not my prospect.
Absolutely. I mean, and I have a friend who, you know, I'll use the euphemism. She uses the S word in her marketing videos.
Yeah.
Because her ideal client, her ideal customer doesn't mind that.
Right.
And it's actually, you can use that as a way to weed out the people that aren't your ideal customer.
By the S word, you mean sales?
Sure.
No, the other S word.
The other one.
Right.
But so she uses it actually, and it's intentional, and she and I had a conversation about it. She intentionally uses it in almost every one of her videos so that it weeds out the people who wouldn't be okay working with her.
Boy, that's a great insight. And, you know, sometimes because we're taught to be polite and we're taught that the word divisive is a bad word. I love the word divisive. Here's what I want to divide. I want to divide my prospects from my non-prospects.
Exactly. And I think that we just need to not be afraid to do that. It's a really hard fear to overcome. It really is. But I can say this from personal experience, and I can say this because really smart people that I know have said it as well. If you try to be something to everyone, your income will suffer.
Oh, yes.
If you try, I mean, they talk about specializing. An example that Dan Kennedy uses all the time is the heart surgeon makes a whole lot more than the general guy.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that. It's because I wouldn't let that general guy open me up. I mean, I would if it was like he's the only one and it's now or never kind of thing. But you know what I mean? He's not my first choice. The heart guy is. So it's don't be afraid to specialize and to call out the people who aren't going to be your buyers because they waste your time, they skew your data, and they don't make you any money.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Let's swing into one of my other favorite topics, which I think a lot of people, speaking of common mistakes, a lot of people screw this up. A lot of companies screw this up.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the copywriting power of the word you.
Oh, the copywriting power of the word you. The word you should be in your marketing copy more than the word I. And it should be in your marketing copy more than the word we. Actually, I don't think the word we should really ever be in your copy. It should always be person to person. So if I'm writing a sales letter, I'm writing a sales letter to David. I'm saying, dear David, not dear prospect. And certainly, and then I'm not going to use the word I. I have something for you. No. I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to talk about you. I'm going to talk about you some more. I'm going to talk about your problems. I'm going to talk about your dreams. I'm going to talk about all the information that we had in that step four. And then I'm going to talk about you some more. And then I'm going to tell you how I can help you. You see how I use the word you like 85 times and the word
exactly.
I once.
Exactly. Yep. You and your. And it's funny. Absolutely. You know, this is a copywriting I guess it's a copywriting exercise. I'm not sure if other people think of it as an exercise, but I'm sure you've done this a lot, and I've done it a very small handful of times. You can take any self-centered, egotistical, my marketing copy, and you can flip it. You can flip it so that the words I, me, and my appear zero times, and the words you and your are what that is. And again, people say, oh, no, it's impossible. It's like, dude, I have, you know, it's like a crossword puzzle. So you take any piece of like I, me, and my product-centered, service-centered piece of marketing, mm-hmm. sales letter, email, direct mail piece, website, whatever, and Allison can flip that around so the words I, me, and my appear zero times.
Absolutely. And I think that leads us into the whole features versus benefits conversation.
Ooh, let's go there next.
Yeah, I figured you might like this one. It's a fun one. So the features are the I, right? That's all about you. My product has this. My product does that. This service has this thing about it. I do this, right? That's the feature. The benefit is what's in it for your customer. This is your solution. This is what the solution looks like for you. This is how it makes your life easier, better, more profitable, more fun, gives you more vacations, puts more money in your pocket, gives you more time to sit with your feet kicked back watching the Sunday football game. This is what's in it for you. And that's really a rough overview of what a benefit is.
Yeah.
So I could say, if I was writing a sales letter for my copy, I could say, I write copy that converts. Great. Awesome. Good for you. Like, that's what my that's what my reader would be saying. Yeah. Good for you. Next. But if I say, you know what, David? I'm going to help you figure out that target market. You're going to know exactly who you're speaking to, and you're going to have the headline that's going to grab their attention, get them to read what you're writing, and open their wallets and hand you their credit card.
Yeah.
That's a benefit.
It sure
I've is. I've done that with compelling and effective copy, right? But I'm showing you exactly what it means for your life.
Yeah.
You can't do that unless you know what they want more of, what they want less of, what they're afraid of, what their dreams are. You see how it all ties back to learning about your prospect and your customer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so let me ask you just, because this is so, you know, so many different places we could go with the copy. How does this translate? Like, someone gets really good at this, right? They've done step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. They now understand about you versus me language. Mm-hmm. They now understand about features versus benefits. Mm-hmm. But then, God forbid, they answer the phone, or they go out to a networking event, or they, you know, they're somehow using language in some other context that they don't consider quote-unquote copywriting, but you know, it's what you, how do you introduce yourself at a networking event? And this is where they totally blow up again. They say, I sell insurance. You know, I run that landscape company that you're talking about. You know, I'm a marketing consultant. I'm a copywriter. Well, good for you. So how do we translate this into 24/7, 360 degrees, everything that we say, everything that we write, everything that we articulate in every possible medium, offline and online? How do we train ourselves to think with these principles, even in our little networking introduction and things like that?
Absolutely. And I think the best way to do that is to always be answering the question, what's in it for them? What's in it for me? On behalf of your customer. So I'm at a networking event and I meet somebody who says, hi, I'm Joe Smith. I run the little print shop down the street. What do you do? I say, hi, I'm Allison. Actually, if I'm being honest, I fall into that trap. I say, hi, I'm a copywriter.
So do I. Oh boy, so do I. Truth telling time. Woo!
I'm always honest. I do it. I struggle with it.
We do it too.
What I should say is, hi, I forget if I said Joe or Jim, but hi, Jim Smith. I can help you get more clients in the door, increase your prices, and change the bottom line so that it's more profitable for you. And I do that through compelling and profitable copy.
There you go.
So I've started with the benefit, right? Yeah. I know that a local print shop is probably competing with these big guys, right?
Yeah.
They're competing with Staples. And I know that because I'm a little more in tune with the market. And they need help competing with the big guys. I might even say that. I help you compete with the big guys.
Yeah.
And
I help small and local business owners compete with the big guys and win.
Right? And it's always going to be developing. But then a corporation might come up to me and say, you know, I am Sue Doe, Jane Doe, and I'm from XYZ Corporation. We're huge.
Yeah.
And I say, you know what? My name's Allison Lex, and with my help, you will have a marketing funnel that will consistently bring leads into the pipeline for your salespeople to close.
Love it. Love it. Right? Oh, my gosh.
So same thing.
Yeah.
Different application.
So how many of these do we need? Like if people are listening to this going, oh, my God, this is great. This is brilliant. You know, step one, go to rockyourmarketing.com and tap into the rest of Allison's genius. But then step two is I'm going to go home. I'm going to write out, what, 2 of these, 20 of these? How many do I need?
How many target markets do you have?
1.
Then you need 1.
Perfect. 4.
4.
Okay. You see how this works? 3.
3.
All right. Now we got it.
Yes.
Now, I had a parking lot moment. This was literally in the parking lot. I was walking into a chamber event, and these two women were walking in the same direction, and they kind of looked like the type. So I said, hey, you guys going to the chamber meeting? Oh, yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I said, what do you do? And one said, you know, I sell insurance, and I sell whatever, you know, printing. And they turned to me and says, well, what do you do? And this was, by this was like 5-6 years ago. I was so sick of that question. Mm-hmm. I was so sick of answering it in that goofy, goofy way that we're all used to answering mm-hmm. before we've really trained ourselves. Here's what came out of my mouth. And this is one of my sound bites that's in the Do It Marketing book. And I teach and preach this all the time. But I'd never said it in my little kind of, hey, by the way, what do you do? I work with small and solo business owners to make their marketing easy, effortless, and enjoyable. And we're literally walking down the parking lot, Allison, and they stop. They both just like, the walking stopped. There was this like, you could drop a pin. There was like 2 mm-hmm. seconds of stunned silence.
Yep.
And they both said, do you have a card?
Right.
Do you have a card? That uh-huh. sounds awesome.
Because you just hit them right over the head with a big benefit.
And this was like, you know, this was like Edison with the light bulb. Like, well, I found 10,000 things that didn't work. And then one day I said this.
And how good did it make you feel that you were like,
oh,
actually
man,
practiced.
I nailed it. I nailed it. Now, by accident, mind you, and I, you know, can't imagine the, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars I'd lost previous to that by not having it for 5 years, but that's okay. But man, oh man, is this important or what?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's, it differentiates you because people don't do it. People will say, oh, I'm a copywriter. And I'm just as guilty of it. I'm not trying to, you know, I need to practice what I preach.
Yeah.
All the time. So, and it's weird to do because nobody else does it. It's a social abnormality.
Yeah.
And that's why it works.
Well, and you know what's funny? Talk about hedging your bets and kind of bringing this conversation full circle here a little bit. Mm-hmm. My wife works at Bryn Mawr College. She's mm-hmm. a dean there. And so I go to these functions, you know, I'm like arm candy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, come to this thing. And these are all academic types and professors and college administrators. And lo and behold, you know, one day this was the college president's house reception thing. And I hadn't met her before, so it was my first time meeting. And she glares at me. She was a short, little, angry woman. She's no longer there, so I'm allowed to say that. Because now they have a fabulous president, truly. But she looked up at me because she was little, but she was like Napoleon. So what is it that you do? And she asks me in that voice. So what is it that you do? And I was like, now here's the problem, right? Talking about hedging your bets, being divisive. You know what I should have said to her? I should have said, I work with small and solo business owners who want to make their marketing easy, effortless, and enjoyable, and it should not have varied. It should not have been translated. It should not have been, well, what can I say to her in this situation that she would understand? Guess what? My business didn't change. My business did not change when I was talking to her. My target market did not change when I was talking to her. But I was like, oh, she wouldn't get it. I have to say something, you know, college-y. or generic or stupid, and I ended up saying something collegey and generic and stupid, like, I'm a marketing consultant.
Right.
Just kill me now. But, you know, so that shouldn't vary. That, depending on who you're talking to, if you have two or three or four different target markets, yes, pull out the appropriate one. If you're with someone and you don't know where they're from or it's a totally alien setting, then, you know, use the one where you do most of your business. Because guess what? That college president could have said, oh my goodness, my son is starting out his new business. Do you have a card? My brother-in-law runs a small accounting firm. Do you have a card? I'm not going to sell anything to the college president. And why should I even try? I need to say who I am and who I serve and what the value and the result of my work is. And then they go, oh, I know it's not me, but I know someone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, oh, sorry, I need a sip of water real quick. We've been talking so much and having so much fun. Once you said something where it doesn't vary.
Yeah.
You use the same thing, so you're going to get more comfortable with it. Have you used your soundbite since?
Not as often as I should.
Well, I'm going to challenge you to do that more often.
Okay,
but
thank you.
Is it easier to do now than it was that first time?
Oh my gosh, absolutely.
Right. So the
I'm probably batting 300. I'm probably batting about 300 now.
All right. You know what? I'm going to be honest. That's better than me. so I'm going to challenge myself to do the same thing.
Right.
But it gets easier. And the thing is, it gets easier in everything you do, from your copy, your written copy, to your networking, to your customer service emails.
Oh, everything. Literally everything.
Because you're immersing yourself.
Yeah.
Like they say, the easiest way to learn a foreign language is to actually go live in that country for 6 months.
Yeah.
And you come home fluent. Same idea. The easiest way to learn the language of your customer is to live with them.
Yeah.
And I don't mean break into their house and actually eat dinner, but I mean live in their world, read their magazines, look at their Facebook groups, do what you need to do to get immersed in their world. And it's going to be foreign to you at first, but then you're going to start to understand it and you're going to start to get it. And then you're going to start to just do it. And, do it marketing, huh?
Do it marketing. There you go. That's always a fabulous punchline at the end of anything. And you're going to start to do it.
Do it.
Boom.
And I'm thinking about talking about different little catchphrases or sound bites, as you called it, for different markets that you may come across in person. You can do that online as well with different landing pages and lead magnets, which is your freebie that you give away to get their contact information so you can market to them.
Yeah.
So I would have a landing page specifically targeted to people. We'll use the small business versus corporation. I have a landing page specifically targeted to small businesses. And when I use Facebook ads or Google AdWords, I specifically target people who own small businesses to go to that page, because that's my online soundbite.
Yeah.
And then I have one that's specifically targeted to corporations, and they would be same thing. Ads go to that page specifically to people from corporations. There's my online soundbite. So it works online, offline, and in print as well.
Love it. So I'm going to ask you two closing questions.
All right.
The first one will be any sort of closing words of wisdom, parting thoughts, parting instructions for our folks. And the second question is going to be how people can get in touch with you, hire you, and immerse themselves in Rock Your Marketing World. So first, any closing thoughts, anything, parting words of wisdom, things that we haven't talked about that you really, really, really want to leave folks remembering?
It's actually not something we've talked about, but we've talked about a lot, and there's a lot to this. There's much more than, I mean, we could sit and talk and have a day long episode.
Oh, and we will. Have no fear.
But get started. Step one, start with that. Find out who they are and then go from there. Just take the first step and you'll find that it's easier. I know we've been talking about how hard it is and how much it kind of sucks and it's a big deal, but it is a one-time project. Have fun with it. make it a game, see what you can learn, and just do it.
Awesome. And now, how can folks get in touch with you, stay in touch with you, tap into your online and offline genius and all your investable opportunities and all the great things that you're up to?
Absolutely. My website is the hub of my world, rockyourmarketing.com, in case you missed it the 85 times you said it. And I actually have a connect page on there that's going to have social links, and you can find me on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I like tweeting. It's fun. And you can also just shoot me an email at info@rockyourmarketing.com. Comes right to my Gmail and my phone, and I can read it and get back to you as well.
Fantastic. Allison Lex, thank you, thank you, thank you. This was a content-packed, super rich, super profitable experience. Thank you for sharing your expertise.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.